Afternoon again, everyone. My name is Karen, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak with you today. I am grateful for all the ways higher power leads me to opportunities to share my experience, strength, and hope with the compulsive overeater who still suffers. In deciding what to share with you today, I drew inspiration from a lead I heard not long ago that included elements related to trauma and mental health. And of course, right now, the Board of Trustees is working on to prepare that manuscript for publication on mental health and recovery. So I like that our fellowship is really looking at how to address that link between our recovery and mental health. And how mental health affects recovery, certainly how recovery affects mental health, right? So it seems like a really great topic to look at today as I share my experience, strength, and hope with you. So I'm going to speak more specifically on my experience in OA, my experience with recovery and healing in OA following a traumatic childhood. Given the prevalence of abuse and other trauma within so many families in these rooms, this topic speaks to me today. I often hear references to recovery as a three-legged stool, emotional, physical, and spiritual. So I'll speak specifically about that three-legged stool and how my abuse history has affected my recovery. I'll begin though by qualifying. I'll share a few words about my journey and about how my early experiences brought me to OA. I can say that my experience as a young girl just profoundly influenced my relationship with God, with food, and with myself. I experienced sexual assault and abuse from the age of 4. At the age of 5, my parents divorced and the incest continued. And just to give you a brief idea of really how horrific the conditions were in my home, I can tell you that one of my two brothers moved out of the house at a young age while still a teenager, and the other died by suicide at 17. As you can imagine, during my growing up years and beyond, my parents were entirely unavailable to me emotionally. They were not attuned. They were just checked out. So I learned to parent myself as best I could. And how did I do that? Every time I felt fearful or alone or unprotected, I turned to food. Instinctively, I wore a layer of fat as protective armor, believing on some level that being overweight could protect me from further abuse. This wasn't true, of course. Instead, my fear made me a target for further sexual harassment over the years. But I didn't know that. To be honest, I was only vaguely conscious of the many ways I tried to control my life and others by carrying extra weight. As an adult, then, before I came to OA, I wanted to lose weight, but did not want to experience any unwanted attention that might come as a result. So when it came to my food behaviors, I had one foot on the gas and the other foot on the brake. I would diet and binge, diet and binge, honestly believing the media's claims that being thin would bring me happiness, but afraid at the same time that being thin would leave me vulnerable. During the decades leading up to my recovery in OA, I always knew that if I could just get to the root of what led me to overeat, I too would be able to maintain a healthy body weight. After all, I could see that people around me were slender and full of life. I just couldn't understand how they did it. I was baffled. I felt like I had been denied the magic key that would allow me to enter the world of normal eaters, a world where people seemingly magically maintained a healthy body weight. In OA, I learned what I had been missing: a relationship with a loving higher power. So let me tell you a bit about my spiritual recovery in OA. Before I came to the fellowship, I had no need for God. I felt that if God had truly loved me, he would have protected me from the abuse. I was so busy being angry at God and the world and everybody around me that I didn't listen to God or connect with God. Besides, if I needed comfort, love, or care, I always had food available, which was, to my mind, way more reliable than some so-called God. Even in recovery, even when my higher power gave me the amazing gift of abstinence, I remained unwilling to turn my will and life over to the care of God. I wanted all the benefits of recovery without giving up any of the control. The God I knew, the God of my childhood, had let me down utterly, so I was not willing to trust him with any part of my life other than the food. I thought, physical abstinence, healthy body weight, great, I got it, that's good enough. Over and over, my sponsor urged me to really take step three, really turn my will and life over so that I could experience the miracles of recovery. I didn't want it. I was willing to do without, right? Then my sponsor spoke words that finally opened the door to step three and to a deeper relationship with my higher power. She said, "Listen, Karen, God did not let you down. God did not abandon you. It was the adults in your life who were supposed to protect you who let you down." And those words really created space for me to consider taking step three. And since that time, my spiritual recovery and conscious contact with God are my very favorite part of recovery. I love living my life sort of hand in hand with my higher power. I wake up in the morning, I take higher power's hand, and I say, "Okay, what kinds of adventures are we going to have today? What kind of mischief are we going to get into today?" And we laugh and we joke and we cry and we talk and we sit in silence. My higher power is totally my best friend now. And how I just want to say it's super fun and satisfying and thrilling to get to spend every day with my very best friend. But of course, spiritual recovery is only one aspect of recovery in OA, right? There's also emotional and physical recovery. Now, given my early abuse, emotional recovery was a challenge for me and continues to be a challenge. One of the most challenging aspects early on in program was learning to trust myself and others, and learning to believe that my wants and needs were important. To me, emotional recovery meant recognizing for the first time that the world and people are inherently safe. Growing up, when I expressed to my family that I was hurting, I was met with a wall of silence. And since I had not learned how to express my feelings, by the time I came to OA, I was essentially an emotional cripple. I didn't know how to be honest with myself or others. I didn't even know honesty was an option. I had spent so much time hiding my feelings that I didn't know how to begin to express them. But through the 12 steps of OA, I have found emotional recovery. I've learned that the world is not only a safe place, it is a beautiful, magical place where the miracles of recovery happen every day. I have watched in wonder as my relationships have begun to heal, and I've found the courage to speak my truth. I've also learned that I don't need to protect people from me. Even though my parents were not attuned to me emotionally, in OA, I learned that it wasn't because I was too much, which is what I had come to believe as a result of their rejection. It wasn't that I was too much or that there was something wrong with me. And now that I've learned that, I've learned to show up in ways that I hadn't shown up before. I don't have to pretend to be someone else in order to be loved. I can just be myself, and that is enough. Of course, the physical recovery I've experienced in OA has been no less miraculous than my spiritual and emotional recovery. During the early months of my program, I watched in wonder as my body was transformed. When I focused on my spiritual recovery and on working the steps, God took care of my weight. Not only did my higher power give me the gift of energy, vitality, and a healthy body weight, I also gained and continue to enjoy a new relationship with food, God, and myself. I'm learning to accept life on life's terms without the protective layer of fat that I carried for so many years. This is another favorite part of my recovery. Now that I have a relationship with a loving higher power, I feel safer, even without the fat, than I ever felt before. And for me, this feeling of felt safety in the world, regardless of what my body looks like, has been one of the greatest miracles of my recovery. I'd like to illustrate, I've got 7 minutes left, illustrate how my recovery in OA has opened opportunities for healing, more opportunities than I had ever imagined possible. Get this. Before recovery, I didn't talk about my abuse history. My husband didn't know about it. I didn't tell my daughter. I didn't really talk about it with anyone, right? I was mortified by the thought of what people might think of me if I told them about my history. But the love, hope, and acceptance I found in OA gave me the courage to open up a bit to others, first during shares at meetings, and later as an invited speaker. And what I found is that my recovery in OA allows me to view my history through a new lens, not through a lens of shame, but through a lens of compassion for myself and for anyone who has endured abuse or other trauma. And haven't we all? Shame and about the incident, about all the ways this abuse has touched my life and affected my recovery and relationships have largely fallen away. As further testimony to the freedom I have found in OA, I'm pleased to say that a few years ago, I took an even bigger step toward healing. I flew to New York to tell my story for a documentary. And because in OA, I learned not only that I don't need to protect people from me, but that my story has the potential to help and inspire others. And this part is huge for me. I want to say something that I learned about vulnerability in OA that has changed my life entirely. I learned in OA that vulnerability, like openness about who I am and what I've experienced, does not leave me unsafe or create potential for harm of any kind. Because how I feel about myself is not tied to what's happening outside of me. It's not tied to what others think of me or how they might perceive me. I have absolute safety in my life as a result of my relationship with my higher power. Again, nothing that anyone can say about my experience as a human being can harm me. I can be hurt by people's comments if I choose to be hurt, but I don't need to worry about judgment. I don't need to worry that someone will say, Karen, oh, look what happened to you. You're awful. You're gross. You're broken. I've got a higher power who tells me otherwise. And that's what's matter. That's what matters, right? What higher power thinks of me is what matters. What matters to me is, am I working a program of recovery? Am I really incorporating the principles of the program into all my affairs? Am I leading a life that is filled with higher powers' love? Am I following higher powers' will for my life? Am I caring for higher powers' people? Those things are what matter to me, not what's happening outside of me. Just prior to the release of the film, Higher Power led me to travel back to my home state to spend time in some of the homes, the physical spaces where I had experienced this abuse. With my higher power, I was able to spend time in those spaces where I had been abused 40 years earlier and kind of bring together who I was then as a small child and who I am now. This experience brought healing and serenity I never dreamed possible. Since that time, I've broken through the walls of silence and shame to tell extended family members what had happened, something that was simply not allowed in my family. Another thing I got to do recently was hear higher powers call and follow higher powers' will to use my experience and skills in a new area as a volunteer working with displaced orphans in Ukraine. And even as I experienced air raid sirens and rolling blackouts, I felt safe in the loving arms of my higher power. It's such a privilege for me to have reached a point in my healing journey in Eaters Anonymous where I can begin to offer real support to those who are suffering. So I'll close by expressing my heartfelt gratitude to OA for this new life, for my abstinence, serenity, healing for my soul, feelings of connection, feelings of not being alone in this world anymore. Gone are the feelings of isolation and helplessness and fear that once drove me to eat compulsively. Now that I have the connection and the trust and the relationship with a higher power, I can do anything. I can do anything higher power calls me to do. I'm never truly alone. Right? There are always two of us, my higher power and me, and my OA fellows are just a phone call away. So even though abuse, affects my relationships, affects my recovery, it doesn't dictate my behavior the way it used to. It simply deepens my compassion for others and allows me to feel awe for the enduring human spirit. Thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today. Thank you for being my fellows on this recovery journey and for all of your love, enthusiasm, and support. We're in this boat together, and I'm so glad to be with you today. Thanks for letting me share.